Now, it was Christmas Eve night, and he and Mother gave me that motorcycle. I rode that bike that night over 100 miles. It was so cold when I got home, I couldn't hardly walk in the house. I was nearly frozen.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Kenneth Copeland has a message on accepting the favor of God. Learn to receive from our Heavenly Father the things that Jesus has freely and graciously made available.
Now, in the book of Philippians, now notice this. In the second chapter, are you there? Verse 5. Let this mind. Now, you know, it said you have to let it. It's not going to just come, just float through there. If you just relax, your mind will be floating full of Babylonian ideas. But when, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't think it was taking away from God's purity. He didn't think it was taking away from God's authority. Listen to me. Are you listening? Because if you're not, I am fixing to really make you mad right now. He didn't think it or call it taking away from God's worthiness. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, Jesus was worthy. Yeah, but Sister Religious, so are you.
Amen.
No, Brother Copeland, I'm so unworthy. Now, you know where that came from? That didn't come from the Bible. That came from Eastern religions. You'll hear Chinese religion say that. Some of them say it as a common form of vocabulary. They constantly call themselves your unworthy servant. I am your humble, unworthy servant. Well, no, Jesus didn't say if you called you as worthy. He died for the ungodly, but he didn't leave you unworthy.
Amen.
Get over that.
Amen.
Shut that thing. Peel that thing off. Well, Brother Copeland, I just think I'm just not worthy to be blessed. Oh, shut up.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that is spiritually deadly. Causes doubt, unbelief. It'll cause you to back off from what already belongs to you. Amen. When I was in high school, my dad worked extra time and bought me a new motorcycle. I didn't know they made new ones. You know, the one I had, I sold it for $5 and a fan belt. So you can tell the fan belt, I think, was probably overpriced. But my dad worked extra. I mean, and my dad traveled all the time. And man, he disliked being away from home as bad as I do. And both of us the same way. Man, we love home, man. We love to be with our family. We love home. But my dad knew what he was called to do, and he was out there doing it. And he stayed out an extra day a week for a long time to buy that motorcycle. I didn't know it was coming. I got the thing on Christmas, and I'll tell you what, when I saw that motorcycle, I like passed out. It was so cold that night. Man, it was one of those few times in Fort Worth when it just really does get cold. And it was Christmas Eve night, and he and Mother gave me that motorcycle. I rode that bike that night over 100 miles. It was so cold when I got home, I couldn't hardly walk in the house. I was nearly frozen. But now when I rode that bike to school and people come running up there and say, whoa, man, new? I said, yeah, man. What do you think? Oh, yeah, I knew. Oh, yes, but now listen, this is not really mine. This belongs to my dad. You gotta be kidding. That would have been an insult to my dad.
That's right.
Huh? Listen, he didn't do all that so he could loan me his motorcycle. He gave it to me. The Bible says God gave the earth and the fullness thereof to men. If you don't take ownership, I know a thief that will. Now then, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation. He didn't use that to make himself look good to people, and neither should you.
Okay.
Amen. Now, that is not to say that you are not to be exalted, because in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, the word says, cast all of your care over on him, for he cares for you, that he may exalt you in due season or in due time. It isn't that he doesn't want you exalted. He doesn't want you exalting yourself. He'll bring you up above it. He'll set you on high above all nations or above all the Babylonians. Yeah, that's where he wants you to be. But he doesn't want you trying to get there yourself. Now, they think they're blessed only after they get rich. You are rich because you're blessed. Now, some of you think, well, I'm not rich. Yeah, you are, and that's the reason you're not getting to spend any of it, because you don't think you are. You're going to have to change your way of thinking. I found out when I was so poor, I couldn't get out of sight. My first day in this ministry, I couldn't get any further than the front door. And no gas in the car, none in the pocket. So I got dressed, got all my stuff, and went to the living room. Studied all day long, dressed and ready to go. Within a few days, I had money enough for half a tank of gas. And that was enough to get us where we were called to be. Didn't have any money to eat. But what difference does that make? I'm not making my way. I don't preach for a living. I'm not a professional preacher. I'm not a professional pilot. I'm qualified professionally. That's what I did for a living when I got saved. It's what I was doing when Gloria and I met. Gloria said we weren't getting a living, but that's what I was doing for one. And she was right. Now, what do I do as a profession? What is my profession? Can you tell me? It ain't a trick question. It's an open book test. All right. Huh? I'm hearing about a dozen that the just shall live by faith. That's our living. I do faith for a living. What do I do in faith for a living? I stand on the word and I give. I sow seeds.
Amen.
Actually, I'm a spiritual farmer. Now, they used to ask my grandfather. My grandfather, Cherokee Indian man, and he was an outstanding farmer and rancher. I mean, he 1 year... out in West Texas, the only reason they opened the cotton gin in that county was to gin his cotton, because he was the only farmer in that county that had a crop. So he was good at what he did. And when you ask him, Mr. Orange, what do? He would say, I grow cotton. Now, he grew other things, but he loved cotton. Man, he loved farm cotton. That's what he loved to do. And he'd say, I grow cotton. He didn't say, I plant it or sell it. I grow it. I'm a cotton farmer. Amen. That's what he did. Well, that was his thinking. Now, what do you do? I'm a sower of seed. I live by faith. I'm a distributor of the blessing of Abraham.
Yes.
That's what we do. Now, let me give you another example here of thinking like God instead of thinking like Babylon.
Yeah, bring it.
Everybody should save. Everybody. You should tithe first, and then you should save. Actually, you're paying everybody but yourself. If any left over, you try to pay yourself. No, pay yourself first. Yeah, but I owe. Well, that's your fault, sweetheart. Now, if you get in the Word of God, God will get you out of debt. That ought to be priority one. Quit paying everybody else. Amen. And paying for what you buy three or four or five times. We'll see it right here in the book of Isaiah in just a moment. In fact, open your Bible back up there and we'll go there right now. But why should I save? Well, you need to put a little something back for a rainy day. You expecting rain, huh? You're expecting the curse. You're expecting bad times. You're expecting to have money to buy gas. You're on and on. Your way of thinking is all twisted. Because you're not dependent on that system out there. No, you save for opportunities.
Amen.
There'll be opportunities. There'll be opportunities to give. There'll be opportunities to sow. And here's the Babylonian way of thinking. I heard a man say this. I heard a man say this on television. After all, the only reason to form any corporation is to make money. That is so far out of line. That is so far twisted. But that's the way the world thinks. Well, yeah, Brother Coleman, if I don't make money, I can't do anything for anybody. Well, now, which is it? You formed the corporation to do something for people, or did you form it to get money? Now, he said he formed the only reason for any corporation is to make money. No, it's the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich. That's the difference between them and you. Preachers, you ain't preaching for a living. If you are, you better change it. Well, I got to have at least 5 meetings a month, Brother Copeland. I don't care what your excuses are. You can statter and stumble around. I've already heard them all. I've already thought them all. How could you ever go minister to one person? How could you ever go take a meeting in a place got 2 people in it? Well, after all, your budget is just so terribly high. You couldn't do that. Had the Lord call me to go to Israel for one woman, to minister to one woman. I said, Lord, this was back before we had an airplane that had range enough to get over there and had to go through all that mess. I said, Lord, that's pretty expensive to go. Boo, 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 boo. And I knew I was wrong when I said it. But he'd got out in the air. That's when I heard it. He heard it when I thought it. He said, if Kelly or Terry was in trouble and there was only one person in that mess that they would listen to, would you think twice before you sent that person over there to see to them? I said, well, no. He said, why? I said, because those are my daughters. He said, well, that one over there is my daughter. I said, I'm going. I'm on the way. Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking all the time, Lord. I'll go. Amen. See, if you're preaching for a living, you can't do that. But if you're preaching for a giving, if you have to meet the needs of the people, if you have members in your church to meet their needs, if you have partners to meet their needs, to give them good ground and meet their needs, it's going to take a while to change your way of thinking where you think that way all the time and you don't catch yourself thinking the old way because the roots of it are still in there. You dig them out and root them out where you don't think that way anymore. Well, how are we supposed to think and how do we change it? All right, I'll give you these certain steps. And then we will be headed in that direction as we go. If you're taking notes, write these down. Don't talk lack or recession ever. I don't care what. Let me put it this way. Don't talk good times and bad times. Don't talk that at all. That's that other system. You don't live by that. And don't get in conversations about it. And if it's a place where it's just not proper for you to say anything else, you say, and All right. And when you say, everybody thinks how wise you are. It's when you open your mouth, they know better. You know, But in the middle of bad times is when you do business. You ought to be where God tells you to be. You ought to be saying what He tells you to say and doing what He tells you to do. This is not a time to talk about how bad times are. This is a time to talk about the blessing. Amen. God, what do you want me to do? Is there somebody that I need to buy a tank of gas for today? You know, I started to tell you a while ago, you know why Gloria and I live in such a nice home? Because we went to a discount store one day, and we the Lord reminded Gloria and I both this again last week. And we were just walking in the front of that store. We'd never been in this store before. I've been in it one time since. She's never been back in it again. And this was years ago. But that day, we went to that store. And I was walking in there, and I'm still about 4, 5, 10 steps maybe from the door. I'm still out in the edge of the parking lot. And I heard somebody's tire. Brother, go blood, brother, go blood, brother, go blood. God told me you'd go be here. God told me you'd go be here. I said, what? She slid that thing up right behind Gloria and me, back seat full of little kids. I said, what is it? She said, oh, Brother Copeland, I got a situation. I don't know what to do. And I was praying, and the Lord said, you know what to do. And I said, well, I can't get a hold of him. He says, you go to the Target store. That's where he's going to be. And there I was. She liked to run over me. Come sliding to a stop. I said, well, what the problem? And she told me, she's a school teacher. And had a good job, but she's a single mom. And she didn't know anything about business things. And she didn't know anything about the note she signed to get in this little home she owned. And as it turned out, she didn't owe a whole lot of money on it. But she missed a payment or two. And then the guys that were involved in this this group that had loaned her the money, they were going to take her house away from her. Because they're going to get this house for just several thousand dollars, and it's worth a whole lot more money than that. And they're just going to kick her out and take her house away from her. Well, and I said, I laid hands on her and prayed, and the word of the Lord came to me. Now, you have to know when God's talking to you and telling you what to do. This is the reason you have to work and exercise your faith all the time to change your way of thinking. Amen. And know when to shut your mind off and turn inward. There, you're going to hear an inward witness, which comes in the form of a conviction. It'll come in words, more in that inward witness than any other way. You just know. That know that you know what you know, that you know what you know. When that comes, don't you ever violate that. Whether it's to do or whether it's to stop, don't ever violate that. Even if it turned out to be a mistake, God can correct you when you're doing your best to hear Him. It's when you're acting on your own thing is when it makes it hard to do anything with you. Because you're acting in fear, you can't hear His voice, but Satan has access to your innermost counsel when you're working by fear instead of by faith. But anyway, now, don't come running up to me and say, well, what about me? Why don't you pay off my house? I am not your caretaker. Jesus is the one that takes the care. Amen. When you roll it over on Him. And that's what she did. Then He told him, then He told her, then He told me. Huh? So you learn to walk like that. Now, the Lord told me what to do. I told her, I said, and I called out to the office and I told him she was coming. I said, you go see our legal department and you go home and get all your stuff. Get your title of that house and the deed and all your stuff about your loan and everything and take it out there. And then I told them from what the Lord said, I said, now, you give her the money to pay her house off. We're sowing that as a seed into her. See, God needs you to have money. He don't need you to owe everybody in town. Every time you put a loan on something, you can't give it. It can't be a seed. I'd love to give you this, Brother Coleman, but I owe money on it. I know it. That's the reason the devil wants to keep you in debt. Amen. Using credit cards are fine when you recognize that that is a form of a check. It's not to live on. It is a convenience to use when you have money in the bank to pay the bill on it. When you use it and you don't have money in the bank to pay it, that is a hot check in the eyes of God. And it'll get you into trouble because, well, you know why. Now, we did that, and the Lord reminded us again last week. We were just so excited. We were just so thrilled. We're just thanking God. Oh, God, you blessed us so. We've been walking in the blessing for 41 and a half years, and we are so blessed. It is so wonderful. And the Lord said, you remember that little woman out there in that Target parking lot? I said, yeah. He said, I don't ever forget those kind of things. See, God work with you. That's what He's wanting to do all the time. He's wanting to do the same thing for her. Not just glory in me. He's wanting to do the same thing with her. She didn't know how, or she wouldn't be in debt to those scoundrels. Amen, Brother Copeland. I'm looking at some of you, you're so intense. Don't talk lack or recession. Number two, change your way of thinking. Number three, don't ever stop tithing. I don't care what happens in the world. Don't ever stop tithing. If you have to go through your house and sow all of whatever's in there, you don't ever stop tithing. And then the next one is, you don't ever stop giving. Amen. Now, if you are not a tither, start right now. Make the commitment right now. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the high priest after the orders of Melchizedek. And you read right on down in that 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and it said, here men that die receive tithe, but there he receives tithe. Hallelujah. Of whom it is witnessed he lives. The text says he lives forever. So they're going to be tithing and blessing forever. And you and I get in on it. Oh, man, that's the blessing connection. When you tithe, when you give, that's a blessing connection. What about 2009? That Babylonian system out there is not going to get any better. That thing has come apart, but we don't have to live in that system. You were taken out of the authority of darkness, and you were given the power and the authority and put into the kingdom of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So get yourself ready. We're moving into that master plan for our lives even more than ever, ever before.
Come join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the 2009 Branson Victory Campaign, March 5th through the 7th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Take 3 days to ground your faith on God's Word and get answers to living successfully in every area of your life. Go to kcn.org or call 800-600-7395.
Listen to this scripture. It says in Deuteronomy 28, we know about the blessing and the curse. We choose the blessing. And it says that when we do the commandments, in verse 2 it says, all these blessings will come upon us. When we do what God says, in other words. I mean, obeying God is an automatic blessing. When you do what God says, it says the blessing comes upon you. And the thing you do in finances is when you obey the Lord. You're a tither. You honor Him with the first and the best of your increase. You honor Him with that, and you give offerings. You bless the Lord's work. You do what He says. You sow into Him, and He sows into you. Listen to verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse and in all that you set your hand unto, and he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You and I, we're in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to be walking under an open heaven all the time. I'm here to tell you, if you'll give your all to the Lord and you'll do what he says in the Word, and where your finances are concerned, you'll sow when he tells you to sow, and you'll do it based on the Word of God, believing what God says, give and it shall be given unto me again, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men shall give into my bosom. Ken and I believe that. We stand on that. You should be standing on it. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. It didn't say it was for preachers. It just said it's there. It's ours. If you're having problems in your finances, and even if you're not, speed up on the Word of God. Go over scriptures concerning your blessing and what belongs to you. Father, we receive this offering today. I pray for every person who sows into this offering today to help us get the word out. I'm asking you, Lord, to reveal the next step to them in their plan. Reveal what to do, where to go. Cause blessing and increase to come into all of our lives, Lord. We just want to sow and we want to receive, and Lord, we want to obey. So bless the people. We receive the offering. We bless it. We believe for a hundredfold return. It says in the Bible, some 30, some 60, some a hundredfold. Go for the gold. Go for the hundredfold return. And don't ever quit sowing. If you quit sowing, you're going to quit reaping. So just stay with it. Sow in faith, believe God. Next week, join me in Healing School. We're going to be talking about your healing. God's already got it for you. All we have to do is receive. This is Gloria Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you to help you grow in faith and encourage you with the love of God every day. For more information, visit our website at kcm.org. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in Australia for these exciting victory campaigns in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales.
Awesome blessing. You come together in that unity and just to see this presence and see the face of Jesus.
Just to be within a stone's throw of where he's actually ministering, I'd recommend to anybody just come and check it out, because it's a wonderful experience here.
Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elg Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland.
Coming into an atmosphere where there's people believing by faith and hearing the word, that you're able to easily just come under that presence with Jesus.
To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.